Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get into John, unless there's something else. Just finishing up chapter 10 here. They're about ready to stone Jesus. Quite a rocky life he lived down here, his ministry, literally. If they weren't stoning him, they were trying to stone someone else. So very judgmental people, the religious order of that time. Very strict, you could look at it that way. But it was not out of a spirit of love or a spirit of compassion. Anything that we read today that was shared, it wasn't out of the Spirit of God. It's out of the spirit of this judgment. It was out of the spirit of Satan, actually, which is crazy to think about. And in the exchange between the Pharisees and Jesus, Jesus points that out, you're children of Satan. So these judgments, these rocks that they're picking up, are actually coming from that place of elevation that they've been lifted up to through the sin that entered in through the Garden of Eden. They came to that place now of stoning people. Using the law of God, this is what's strange about it, using the law of God to judge these people, but these stones that they're carrying coming from a place that Satan gave him that position to be able to do that. So it's pretty incredible, and it's very strange, but Jesus paints a very clear, simple picture. You are of Satan doing this. There's no question about it. And we're to have that log removed out of our eye. Man, what a freeing event that is to be able to see clearly, to see the revelation of God. Also to be able to see specks in your brother's and sister's eyes, because specks hurt. Specks are very irritating, and they can fester, and we want to be able to minister each other and help remove specks. Praise God. So therefore they sought again to take him in verse 39, just finishing up chapter 10 of John. Sought again to take Jesus, and that's not a good, not to take him out for ice cream, that's to take him out to do him in. But he escaped out of their hand, the great escapist, when he needed to. He knew how to do it. He went again beyond the Jordan into a place where John first baptized. Isn't it nice to go to Camp Gregory, all the memories that come back there, or different places? I was even thinking about that yesterday as we were listening to some music. We pulled some songs out of the Black Book, and it just brought me back to past times, and I was even hearing Lewis's laughter as I was just taking in the Spirit to a different place and a different time. So there's these Ebenezer stones that God gives us in our life that we can kind of go back to, retreat to in our mind, and think about the good things that God has done and have good revelation there of him. Hallelujah. And many resorted unto him. Many went to Jesus, knowing him, that he was there, and said, John did no miracle. This is verse 41. But all things that John spoke of this man were true. John the Baptist, everything that he spoke of this man, that he would baptize with fire, that he was the Lamb of God, all these things are true. That he came to set the captives free, all these things that he would do to prepare the way for Jesus came to pass. He fulfilled all those things. It's interesting to know that even in all of that, even Jesus fulfilling all those things, that John the Baptist would have a moment of crisis, a faith crisis in his life. Does anybody remember that? We taught about it about 3 years ago when we were in Luke. He had that moment of crisis, a faith crisis. No one greater born of woman, John the Baptist. And he's sitting in a jail cell after not 1 month, but 2 months, 3 months, 10 months in the jail cell. He still knows Jesus is out there somewhere, but like, where's God? Am I excluded from the program now? Is he done with me? You know, what's going on? And so Jesus would hear from John, hear from this crisis, and the question was that he texted Jesus through the sans print system was, are you the one? So he actually came to that place of, Jesus, are you really the one? He actually had that faith crisis. No one greater born of woman than John the Baptist, sitting in a jail cell, having a faith crisis. That encourages me for those moments where I'm like, God, where are you? And feeling in those places and groping and searching and reaching for God. Keep reaching. John got his answer from Jesus, and he was encouraged. His life would end there in that place. And he's in a much better place, of course, right now. And his joy is complete. But that's just a little bit of a retreat back there into John the Baptist's life. I was recently thinking about it because dealing with somebody that was having a faith crisis, you know, of belief. And those things are encouraging to us. The people in the scripture that had the similar things. Peter would have a petering out type experience where he ran out of gas and all of a sudden things weren't going. You know, when it doesn't go how you think it should go, you know, that's when it's hard to keep the row going of your faith. And it's like you stop rowing and you're just like drifting. So there's all kinds of characters in the scripture. Be encouraged if you're having one of those moments, maybe even this morning you are. It feels like everything's come against you. We touched on Job last week, where Job definitely had a faith crisis because there was everything was taken away except his wife, which just told him to curse God and die, basically. That was her encouragement. So he went through weeks, perhaps months of this suffering physically, losing children, everything. Everything just being stripped away. Why? Because he was a sinner? No. No, it wasn't some type of punishment. It wasn't that he deserved it, anything like that. In fact, God would correct those kind of ideas that came across him. It was that God's glory be revealed, that Job, through this suffering, he would be able to see clearly, to be able to see God. The only problem with Job is he was born with a log in his eye. He was born just like the rest of us. He was born of Adam and Eve with that sin nature. He couldn't see God. He knew he was there. He was a righteous man and doing everything right, but he didn't have a clear vision of God. That suffering was the grace of God, as hard as it was, that he would have clear vision of God. So be careful of what you rebuke and be careful of what you try to chase away and sweep away. Nobody likes to be hurting. Nobody likes to suffer. But rejoice, it says in the scripture. Be of good cheer because he's overcome. And we could look for the things that are coming because we know we have a good Father, as we sang today. That God is going to restore. God is going to meet us. God is going to teach us in these things. So be encouraged today. Just popping off of John right there in verse 41. Didn't really plan to do that. Verse 42, and many believed on him there. Praise God for that. That's encouraging. When people believe, hallelujah, I love it. People come into the fold of God, and you see their eyes open. You see a new life happen. You know, there isn't anything new under the S-U-N, folks. It's all the same thing out there every day. And the wheel's turning out there of creation and things are, the clock is ticking down and all of that. All the stuff going out there. So will you turn on the news today? I'll tell you right now, I can tell you on the news today, there will be nothing new. It won't be news. There is nothing new under the S-U-N. So keep your time limited on that. You can get briefed on what's going on in the world. You know what to pray for and then turn it off. Because there's nothing new under the sun. Don't be discouraged. Don't get into a place where your brain becomes rewired because you're just saturated with these things. Everything under the S-O-N is N-E-W, is new. Everything under the S-U-N is not new. There's nothing new. It's all the old same thing. But under Christ, under the S-O-N, under the shadow of his wing, everything is new. Behold, all things become new. It's cool. It really is. Your marriage, your relationships, they become new. They're always in that place of being renewed. Hallelujah. We have a good God. We have a good Father. So we're breaking into chapter 11. I told Gretch we were actually going to be here 4 weeks ago. Yeah. You asked me like the day before, you know, to prepare what songs. And I said, yeah, we're going to get into the Lazarus, raising from the dead here. So that was 4 weeks ago. So she picked a particular song about running out of the grave, and we did that 3 weeks in a row. she was thinking, he's going to get there. And nope, not getting there. But today we are, and we didn't do the song. You picked a different one about the grave and resurrection. So thank you for your patience. Amen. Now, a certain man was sick, this happens, named Lazarus, speaking of under the S-U-N, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Oh, the famous Mary and Martha. So this chapter could perhaps be titled Mary and Martha contrasted, the sister sisters maybe. very different. So this is something you'll see. Perhaps one of the greatest things in this chapter isn't the resurrection of Lazarus, it's the belief in the working that's going on in Mary and Martha. So that's going to be one of the things that's emphasized as we go through this particular chapter. Maybe a second title could be that just that, believing in God versus the natural belief. And it's like, it can't be possible because this is the way things are. This is the way science is. Oh man, that, as soon as I say that word, I get irritated now. I love science. I love nature. I love exploring things because they reveal God. But recently, just very irritated at the sound of that because of that guy. I forget his name. I don't even know if God knows his name, because sometimes God will refer to people like that as that guy. You know, as he was elevating science, and he's really mad at the people that are in the church, you know, for what is being promoted there. I forget his name. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? He's like an astronomer kind of guy. He had an astronomy kind of show, and he would do. And that's where he first got famous. And now he's kind of, yeah, he's a black guy. No, not Bill Nye. Tyson. Geisen.
Mike Tyson.
No, Geisen. Yeah. You guys know who I'm talking about? There's the blurb. It keeps coming on Facebook, and it's like that person that posted that, I feel like, you know, really cornering and saying, shouldn't be promoting this guy. But, it's just like this, showing this great video of how man's accomplishments. Thank you. And one of those is language. And the buildings and everything, and you know how science has brought us to where we are today, and how science has saved mankind, and how cell phones are so wonderful, and how we are we? Neil deGrasse or something like that. Okay, I really get upset. Because I know it's not about him, but the people that are impacted by what he's saying. I get very, very upset. Because there's an appeal to that. There's that intellectual appeal. And it's, oh yeah, if I'm intellectual, then I'll kind of follow this guy. He's a fool. The Bible declares him as a fool. God declares that man, all his intellectual baloney, as foolishness. Because he takes God out of the whole equation. How in the world did I get there? Oh, believing God was number two that we could title this particular chapter. Believing in God, you know, versus the natural, versus science. Science says that man has been rotting in the grave 4 days. It can't happen, and that kind of thing. So we'll touch on that. Number three, we could title it just simply resurrection and life after, and learning what that means. The Bible teaches, God teaches resurrection. We're going to live forever. And one of the things that we know to be true is that we've been made in the image of God, and that image is eternal. When you're made in the image of the eternal, you take on the characteristics of that, which is eternal. He's put eternity in our hearts. There's something about us that's eternal. We're not satisfied with temporary things. Food and clothing are wonderful, and the latest dessert is yummy, but there's something that just doesn't touch where we need to be touched, and only faith can do that, and only God residing in us through the Holy Spirit can give us that satisfaction. So we're completely unsatisfied and miserable until we have eternal things happening inside of us. God and his kingdom and the things of eternity working inside of us, his Holy Spirit shedding in our heart the love of God. Four, we could title this simply ministry. Ministry. So we see the work of that as Lazarus is being brought out of the grave, and we'll touch on that. Okay, praise God. So the sick man named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha, was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Jesus would prophesy over this when he was having that done, when that ointment was being broken over him, that her name would be remembered. And here it is. It's being remembered by John here through the Holy Spirit. This is the Mary that did this particular act. We'll see that in chapter 12, actually. So he's just referring to that, making that connection. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So another message through the Sprint system. You know, people running, that's how they did it. There were no cell phones then. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. Bethany is just outside of Jerusalem. This would be a place that Jesus would frequent. These are people that Jesus would be comfortable with. They're not judging him all the time or whatever. This was like family to him. So there was a great relationship already going. Whom thou lovest is sick. So sometimes we'll pray that over people, actually, as we're praying. We'll pray that particular verse. Lord, the one whom you lovest is sick. You know, just reminding ourselves and including in that as a statement of faith that you love this person, God, and we want the best for them too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is no formula for being healed. We know that, as Roger read, that by his stripes that healing comes. So that's the dominion of healing. It comes through the power of God. But the actual method, the way that God does, is very interesting and very different, usually. It can be. He can use doctors, hospitals. He can use a fly landing on you or whatever. It doesn't matter. He can use mud in your eye, you know, made with spit and stuff like that. And we saw that. So the one thing that's clear to me is he doesn't want us to know the method. He wants us to know the one that provides it, though. By his stripes we are healed, and it all comes from him. That's the important part. The method is not as important. That ultimately that God gives us that type of grace, no matter what the method is. So Gretchen's method I found very interesting. So this was the second week we prayed for her, for her back. And when we were in Vermont, it was this, you know, sleepless nights type of thing. I'd wake up and she'd be sitting up, or, you know, hear the low moaning kind of thing, and just pain and not knowing what it is. She went to see a spine person this week, and they didn't know what it was either. Gave her a few exercises and stuff, a piece of paper, basically. And so this was the Saturday night, second Saturday night prayer yesterday, 7 o'clock. We're here, chairs right here. She's sitting there. I'm like, oh, frequent flyer, you know, here we are praying for you again. There's a lot of faith there, Paul. You know, there's a little sarcasm there, probably not appropriate. So my prayer wasn't, you know, definitely, maybe it was one of you guys believing or whatever, but I was just like, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. We're going to get through this, and just praying for comfort and things like that. This is the Lord's humor. He wants our joy to be full, and he gave us that, the ability to chuckle, that interesting phenomenon. Scientifically, I'm not sure what that really, what's happening there? What's being released? Well, joy is being released. It's the valve of joy. You know, you have a spigot of root beer, you have a spigot of orange soda, and the spigot for laughter is, or spigot of joy is laughter. It just comes out. It's one of the spigots. Praising him is another spigot of allowing joy out. So allow it to flow, you know what I mean? Praise God. Okay, so you want to know what the method was, so you can repeat it, right? No, don't do that. Well, maybe this one you might want to. So she was just at home. How should we say?
I did my exercises.
She was reaching for ice cream in the freezer, and as she turned, she heard the click, and she's like, oh!
It was on the couch. I was relaxed on the sofa because she got my bowl of ice cream.
Okay, it was there. I thought you were in the freezer doing, okay.
And I did one of these.
Reaching for the ice cream. At least I got that part right. Okay. So that is one method God could use, reaching for ice cream to heal you. So we thank the Lord for that. We thank for the methods that he uses that are diverse.
We won't write a book about it.
Oh, you should. You should, yeah. The healing through ice cream. Praise God. Reaching for the ice cream. But God is good, and he's going to heal this man even from death. He's going to reach through the gates of death and pull this one through. This is quite an amazing event here taking place in chapter 11. The one that thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, sometimes we feel just the opposite. We feel like because we're going through something that he doesn't love us, or because we didn't get the quick healing that he doesn't love us. That is so not true. In fact, the quick healing might be the fact that that's just plain grace and that's what you had to have. But the one that is able to get through it and suffer longer through it is going to experience more, perhaps, and growing in their grace and knowledge of who Jesus is. So it is not a measurement of God's love to you. Please do not look at it that way. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, was Mary, and Lazarus. So that whole family there. It's two sisters and a brother. We don't know where the parents are, what's going on with the household. We just know they're in the same household. They're in Bethany. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. God didn't move. That's that situation. You've been in those places, perhaps. You know, it's like God's not moving here. Here we are praying again for the same thing. Why? The question is, right? There's the question mark that comes up with Job. It comes up with John the Baptist as he's sitting in prison. It comes up with Peter as he's seeing Jesus getting punched. Why? Why is it going this way? Why isn't God intervening? Why is this happening? Well, we do know a little bit. It says for the glory of God in verse 4, and we know in verse 15 there it's going to say that you may believe. So you have two very powerful reasons given in this chapter, but I don't think that's the whole picture. I don't think that's the whole picture. That's two powerful reasons given there. The glory of God revealed and us believing. That's good enough. Verse 7, then after that, saith he to his disciples, Jesus is far away from the situation, but his disciples are with him, let us go into Judea again. And his disciples, this is after 2 days, Jesus waiting and says, okay, now it's time. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Well, we just knew that. We just came from that story. And goest thou there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbles, because there is no light in him. Aha. What an interesting answer to their question. Jan read it today. His ways, his thoughts are very different than ours. So a lot of times the answer to a question just comes at a whole different angle, an unexpected angle. It's, wait a minute, God, I formed the question, and your answer needs to follow suit with my question. It needs to fall in line with that question. But a lot of times our question is like, what shape is yellow, God? Think about it. The questions just aren't, you know, from his perspective, they're not really valid. They're kind of odd. But he gives us truth anyways. He gives us his truth. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher than ours. So the answer to Jesus being under the threat of being stoned again is, aren't there 12 hours in the day? We need to work in the light. We need to walk in the light. If we walk in the darkness, we're going to stumble. An example of darkness would be the fear that they're experiencing at this time. You're going to get killed. Paul the Apostle would experience the same thing. It's like if you go into Jerusalem, Paul, and even had it prophesied over him, they're going to put ropes around you, and the prophet actually physically did that to show it to Paul. And you know, this is going to happen. And Paul says, thanks for letting me know that, but I need to work in the light. You know, that's okay. You know, if God is done with me, he's done with me. As I grow in the Lord, I find more comfort in that too, is that once God is done with me, he's done with me. I'm done. There's going to become a day when I'm done preaching. There's going to come a day when I'm done fixing computers. There's going to become a day when I'm done. Just like I'm a used dish rag, the tent's used up, and I'm going to go on to glory. So I'm not holding on to these things so tight. These are very temporary, these things that we experience down here. And we can tend to be, you know, to have a tight grip on these things of the world, but we really should have a super loose grip, knowing that ultimately we are going to be with him. Our resurrection is a fact. We are going to be raised from the dead. It's not a maybe, it is a definite. As sure as Jesus was, we are. So if a man walks in the night, he stumbles. And this is part of the judgment, this is part of the blockage that we have in our eyes, this judgment, is not being able to see clearly, not being able to see the possibilities of God. Everything's natural, everything's science, everything is this. and we lose sight of the possibilities of God, and we start to die. We start to decay. We start to become animals. We start to do weird things. We start to lose our created value as being a child of God. Let's take a look at some of that, just bridging off of this truth that Jesus gave us here about walking in the light. Let's take a look at Psalm 27. We got our theme for Camp Gregory came early this year, and it's trust or rust. Trust, don't rust. Very simple, nice rhyme, easy to remember. And this teaching that we're in right now is all about trusting in God. That's the main overriding theme of this chapter, is trusting in God when things look hopeless. When everything you believe, everything that nature tells you, says this is the way things are going, and you stop looking at the possibilities of God. This is what this chapter is about. So we're going to look at some of these things about trusting in God. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. He's not a light. He's not like the provider of light. He is the light. The Lord himself is light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So connecting back to where we are right now, about walking in this light is following Jesus Christ and believing all things are possible with him. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's the first thing that gets knocked out. First round in the boxing match of life, the first thing gets knocked out in your salvation and your rebirth with God is fear. Simeon touched on it, was read by a few other people about the peace of God. Roger also brought us through Isaiah 55 about his chastisement, the beatings that he took, not only for our physical healing, but for our peace. This fear that we have, this restlessness that we have, overcaffeinated, this antsiness that we have, this angst that we have, anxiety that we get, is rooted in fear. And it's his beating that he took to give us the peace that just knocks that out. Are you going to need that fresh every day? You betcha. You're going to need that fresh every day because there's going to be fearful things that come at us. This world is filled with tribulation, but be of good cheer. He's overcome it. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Folks, when I'm reading these kind of things, I want you to think about the word trust and the letters that make that up, that word trust. T-R-U-S-T. So think of it as taking rest under the shadow today. T-R-U-S-T. Taking refuge under the strength today. Two different elements about trusting. And you can think about it as leaning on a wall. Proverbs 3 talks about trusting in God, but not leaning on your own understanding. So there are things that we lean on. We lean on our own understanding, how we perceive things. Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is dying. This is how things are going. That's all the possibilities. So you start leaning on that. You lean on what you perceive. I've been sitting in the prison for 10 months. This can't be God's will. Is this really Jesus? I start leaning on my own understanding because I'm in a dark place. I'm in an uncomfortable place because of pain. I start leaning on my own understanding. Oh, God doesn't love me because of this issue in my life. Because of this thing that's going on, I start leaning on my own understanding. That's not trusting in God. That's rusting. That's oxidizing. You need to take a lot of antioxidants. You need to eat a lot of pomegranates and whatever, all those antioxidant foods, because you're going to be rusting on the inside with all that stress, anxiety, and fear. God has given us the pomegranate. He's given us the fruit of the Spirit. He's given us the antioxidant. He's given us the de-stressor, the detoxer. It's this Holy Spirit. The fruit of that is peace, love, joy, goodness. All of the fruits of the Spirit are the detoxing or the anti-stress medicine that we really need. Praise God. You still need to eat healthy, folks. Don't run home and eat brownies. Praise God. Psalm 27. As I'm reading this, I want you to keep those letters in mind. T-R-U-S-T. We'll be talking about it all year long. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Fear, you're knocked out, you're dead, you're out of here. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Trusting has to do with strength. That's one of the S's. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh. That's some pretty wicked enemies when they want to actually eat you. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired, this is how we opened up today, one thing have I desired of the Lord, this will I seek after. Not my own understanding, not coming to some conclusion because of science and things, as much as I love science, as much as I love to learn things. One thing have I desired of the Lord, this will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire, that is, to be taught in his temple. For in the time of trouble, listen to this verse in verse 5 here, folks. Just lean on. Lean on this, please. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now my head be above my enemies, in verse 6 there. And I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. How do you go from suffering, enemies eating your flesh, to joy? By seeking one thing. One thing desiring of the Lord, and seeking after this, that you dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. They behold the beauty of the Lord, inquire in his temple. This is all one thing. This is all seeking after God and his righteousness, his kingdom. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. All those things are one. Did you encounter the beauty of the Lord today? I hope you did. I hope you heard things that were of his nature, that glorified him, that were beautiful. Did you come here desiring to be just in his house with his people, with his presence, dwelling in the house of the Lord? Did you come here desiring to learn of his grace, to learn of his word and be taught? Then you're doing that one thing. You're doing the one thing. It should be a dance, I guess. Amen. Psalm 27, let's just turn to Psalm 91 while we're in Psalms. This has been popping up a few times this past weeks by different people, including myself. Again, having to do with this trust. Dwelling in the light that Jesus is talking about. And that's usually our problem, is when darkness comes, death, darkness, suffering, it's a type of darkness, fear is a type of darkness, uncertainty, all kinds of problems. Afflictions, enemies, eating our flesh, all this stuff is a type of darkness that we need to get into the light. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Take rest under the shadow today. T-R-U-S-T. Good thing to remember when you wake up. The secret place. What is all these things about hiding places and secret places that God has for us? Let's keep reading. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. There's the refuge word, part of the R's. Take rest, take refuge. Under the shadow, under the strength, under the salvation, under the secret place, today. So lots of R's, lots of S's you can fill in there in that word. Let me finish verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. I will not rust. You could also think of trust, that part of that word is trust. It's a physical structure being talked about that. He is my refuge, my fortress, structure. Dick Anthony was showing me the structure that he built yesterday, a little overhang for his wood there, and showing me how he designed it and the strength for that, and how he trusts it. No matter how much snow was on that, he knows how much weight it can hold. He knows the dimensions and the different things and where the proper support to be that. That's part of leaning on God, too. And you know, it's an example of that. The trusses, the physical strength of God. There's a hiding place in that physical strength that he wants us to go to. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid. It goes on again, dealing with fear, anxiety, uncertainty, and doubt. I could write a book about that, just called it FUD. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. How many people are living in little boxes of fear? They won't come out of their, you know, come out of their boxes. They're very scared about everything. You know, all the conspiracies that are out there. Just everything's about fear. Everything is about worry. There is no reward in that. There is not going to be one crown of righteousness handed out because you had fear. Congratulations. There is no going. There are going to be no clapping for a saint in heaven because this saint, they feared on this occasion, and look at all the fear and how they hid. You know, in fact, there's going to be retribution for that. We see that in Luke, where the servant, because he saw God, he feared God in the wrong way. You know, God's uncertain sometimes and all those things. So I hid the treasure that God gave me, and I didn't really want to use that gift of evangelism. I didn't really want to use that gift of teaching. I didn't really want to use that gift of encouragement and call that person. I didn't really want to use that gift of giving and give to that person, reach out to them. You know, and so I hid it because I was afraid, you know, if I give it to that person, then there's going to be strings attached. I'm afraid. There is no reward in fear. There is none. There is no reward in fear. Not one. Trust in the Lord. That's the light we need to dwell in. That's the light that's going to make our eyes bright and our whole bodies filled with light. That's the antioxidant that we really need in the Spirit. Folks, we're rusting. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit today. I felt the baptism starting to flow just as you guys were sharing Scripture. It was starting to break out. So I'm going to pray in that light right now. That the baptism of the Spirit, the promise of Jesus Christ, everything fulfilled as John said, that He would baptize with fire. That would flow upon us right now, Lord God. We receive it. We simply receive it. How much more are you willing to give the Holy Spirit to your children as they ask for it? We are asking today, God. We're asking for that fire to burn bright in our hearts and bright in our minds right now, Lord God. Fill us with that fire. Burn away anything that is not of you, Jesus. Burn away anything, Lord God, that is of fear, uncertainty, and that dog of doubt. It makes us not pick up the phone when we're supposed to and reach out to someone because our mind starts spinning. Oh, I don't deserve to do this, right? Stop with the excuses and fear. It's a heap of garbage. It's a garbage dump. See clearly now that you've been set free by Jesus and what He did on the cross. Be a fearless one. Be a burning one for Him. That no matter what it is, oh, we're going to go get stoned in Jerusalem. Is rocks going to be thrown at us? Fine, that's where the light is leading me. That's where the light is. That's the path of light. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you deliver us. You are a true deliverer. We receive that baptism. We receive that fire right now from heaven. We believe in your Holy Spirit. We believe today, Lord God, you're going to use each one of us here. Maybe on the way home, you're going to see somebody that you're going to reach out to. Maybe God is going to, in your mind, just plant somebody that you haven't talked to in a while. You're going to reach out to them. Maybe you're going to give to somebody something. Article of clothing or money or food or whatever they need. You're going to meet a need today. That's exciting. That's exciting. Have clear eyes to just fulfill the ministry of God and what He's called us to do. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. Almost got to the resurrection. I won't do it justice if I try to squeeze it in right now, so I'm not going to. Praise you, Lord. God Almighty, if it takes me a whole year, I'm just going to go on your speed, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. I praise you, Jesus. We pray for the next Sunday, the outreach, as we go to the pancake breakfast, that we'd be a good example there, Lord God. Show the joy and love, Lord Jesus, and thankfulness and gratitude for our servant in this community. Thank you, Jesus Christ. I want to pray for our neighbors here, Lord God. So some vehicles out there, and maybe they're moving in that little tiny blue building, whatever's going on, Lord Jesus, we pray that your hand be over that, Lord. We pray for our neighbors. Help us love our neighbors, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.